This is a Civic Media News special report. We interrupt our regular programming for a special report. I'm Todd Allwell. Good afternoon. Live in Superior, Wisconsin, at the base of the Blatnik Bridge here, as we are anticipating Joe Biden. Terry Bell, our news director, joins me from Madison. Terry, the president has just been introduced, so we're going to go right to it. President Biden, live just down the street from where we are at the Earth Rider Brewery.
Two best governors in America, the United States of America. Governor Thompson, Tony, stand up. And also the governor of Minnesota, Tim Wall. And thanks to the outstanding senators, Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin. And Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith from the state of Minnesota. If I have all three of them on my side, I don't worry about anything. And two great mayors. Mayor Payne of Superior, Wisconsin.
Yes!
Mayor Ryan of Duluth, Minnesota. Stand up, guys. Yes. Folks, I'm here today to talk about something that doesn't get enough attention. The progress we're making to invest in America and American workers, American products. Invest in America. That's what we're doing. Bring your work, opportunity, and hope to the people and communities all across this country. Just last week, we saw the biggest jump in 30 years in how positive consumers are feeling about the economy. Things are finally beginning to sink, and we passed a lot of really good legislation. We knew it was going to take time for it to begin to take hold, but it's taking hold now and turning the economy around. We also just learned that America filed 16 million new business applications since I became president. That's a record. The reason I'm mentioning it, when someone files for a new business, it's an example of hope. Something they believe in. They believe that they can get something done. And a consequence. You know, and Tim's business right here is that act of hope as well, started a while ago. And just today we learned the economy of the United States grew by 3.1%. Something they believe in. They believe that they can get something done. And a consequence. You know, and Tim's business right here is that act of hope as well, started a while ago. And just today we learned the economy of the United States grew by 3.1% last year. I don't want to bore you with all the detail, but, you know, the experts from the time I got elected were insisting that a recession was just around the corner. Every month there was going to be a recession. Well, you know, we've got really strong growth. Listen to this. Here's this morning's headlines from the Wall Street Journal and other papers. Quote, U.S. shatters expectations. Second headline, the U.S. economy boomed in 2023. Third, U.S. economy grew at a shocking pace. I love that shocking pace piece. But my favorite is from the Wall Street Journal. Quote, what recession? Growth ended accelerating in 2023. Folks, look. And by the way, the economic growth is stronger than we had during the Trump administration. My predecessor recently said he was actually hoping for the economy to crash, his quote. Hoping for the economy to crash. Can you believe it? Well, he said he's hoping because he hopes it happens soon while I'm still president. That's what he's hoping for. Well, thanks to the American people, America now has the strongest growth, the lowest inflation rate of any major economy in the world. It's because of you. We obviously have more work to do, but we're making real progress, building an economy from the middle out and the bottom up and not the top down. I was raised in a household where we had three bedrooms. No, it was a nice home, three bedroom split level home and a new development of 40 homes in suburbia with four kids and a grandpa living with us. And but that trickle down economics didn't trickle down much on my dad's kitchen table. Because when we work from the middle out and the bottom up, the poor have a shot, the middle class does really well, and the wealthy still do well. But everybody gets a shot. We all do well. You know, as the Secretary of Treasury, Janet Yellen, just said today, and I quote, the story of the middle class is not separate from the state of the economy. It's at the heart of it. You went on to say, I mean workers across industries and occupations, from firefighters to nurses to factory workers. That's the middle class. At least that's where I come from. That's what it's all about. So I'm here to announce more progress that shows that we can get big things done in America. We start believing in ourselves again. We start investing in America again. Folks, look, our infrastructure used to be the best in the world, rated the best in the world. But over a period of time, we stopped investing in America. We stopped it. We stopped investing in ourselves. And we slipped. We're now ranked the 13th best infrastructure in the world. The United States of America, number 13 in the world. How in God's name can we have the strongest economy in the world if we don't have the strongest and best infrastructure in the world? It's not possible. So we're determined to turn that around. We were determined to turn that around in a big way. And that's exactly what we're doing. 2 years ago, I came to Wisconsin, this is almost this very spot, to talk about the historic bipartisan infrastructure law that I signed with the support of your elected officials. The most sweeping investment to rebuild America in American history. We've already invested $6.1 billion in Wisconsin so far, $5.7 billion in Minnesota. 2 years later, I came back to the Black Creek Bridge. I was here 2 years ago. The last time I was here, I came with Tammy, and we're now back this time because we knew this bridge needed a lot of work. Tammy didn't let me forget that either. You know, that bridge opened in 1961, and it connects Minnesota, Wisconsin, you know better than anyone in the world, and over the Lewis Bay. It's a vital link of our nation's economy. Every year, 950,000 trucks use the bridge to carry 3.4 billion tons of goods all the way across America and into Canada. Folks, every day, 33,000 vehicles cross that bridge. The flow of people is so critical to small businesses that rely on it to get customers, employers, goods through their businesses. It's critical. And local businesses like this brewery at the base of the bridge, think what Tim just told us. Tim's family's been here for four generations. His great-grandparents moved here from Scandinavia to build a bakery just four blocks from here. And as Tim just said, the bridge is critical to his business, his workers, his customers, to the entire local economy. And it's like that in other parts of the country as well. This bridge is also critical to the largest port on the Great Lakes, serving critical industries like forestry, agriculture, clean energy, supporting so many communities. I mean, it really is consequential. But you also know this bridge is in badly corroded condition. It's unsafe for trucks to carry oversized, overweight loads, causing drivers lengthy detours, increasing costs and delays. It's outdated in design. Tight curves have led to higher than average car accident rates, traffic congestion. For decades, people talked about replacing this bridge, but it never got done until today. Until today. I mean, I'm proud to announce $1 billion from the bipartisan infrastructure law will be used to build this new bridge. A new bridge will increase capacity for large trucks and oversized loads. A new bridge with a modern design, wider shoulders, smoother on and off ramp. A new bridge with a shared path for pedestrians and cyclists. And I want to credit your governors, and I mean it sincerely, and your state legislators for coming up with the matching money to invest in this bridge. Otherwise, it wouldn't have gotten done with your own funding. This investment is going to make a huge difference. Less traffic, fewer car accidents, faster commutes to your jobs and schools, quicker response times from fire trucks and first responders when every minute counts. Goods are going to get shipped quicker, and commerce will flow more freely instead of having to detour for up to 10 miles. Here's what else it means. It means that 10,000 new construction jobs, union jobs, are going to be created. We're investing in America. And jobs for American workers, built with American products. And that's going to, with the help of your congressional delegation, especially Senator Tammy Baldwin, we're making sure that that iron, that steel, that construction material to build this bridge is made in America. Yeah. This funding is part of a larger $5 billion investment led by the Department of Transportation for 37 major projects across America, including bridges, highways, ports, airports. To date, 40,000 infrastructure problems have been, projects have been announced all across America. And with the support of these great governors and congressional delegation, we're doing other big things. For example, we're making sure every American, including all of you here, have access to affordable high-speed internet. Yeah. I want to thank Amy for her leadership in this issue. She's been relentless. High-speed internet is essential to today's economy. It's as essential as electricity was when Franklin Roosevelt was president. Not a joke. That's why nearly a century ago, Franklin Roosevelt signed the Rural Electrification Act. I know this sounds like it doesn't matter, but it matters a great deal. He signed it to bring electricity to nearly every home and farm in America because it became essential, an essential part of the economic growth of the country, an essential way to access to modern life. And so is high-speed internet today. In Wisconsin and Minnesota, we're investing $2.5 billion in high-speed internet. And we're going to save more than 600,000 families in these two states up to $30 a month in internet bills. The household I came from, that matters. Those $30 end of the month bills will add up when you're living on a fixed salary. We're also investing $1.1 billion in your state to provide clean water and replace poisonous lead pipes. Every lead pipe's going to be taken out. You turn on your faucet and drink clean water without getting sick. You know, a recent study shows that reducing lead exposure for children has the same effect on a student's test scores as reducing the size of a class they're in from 22 to 15. One-tenth the cost it is. It matters. It affects the ability of the brain to function. And that's why we're going to eliminate every single lead pipe in America, and I promise you that. We got the money to do it now. And that's on top of another $1 billion to clean up the Great Lakes, which provide drinking water for 20 million people. 20 million people. And by the way, you can make
Civic Media special coverage of President Biden's visit to Superior, Wisconsin, with an announcement about infrastructure. We'll have much more. Stay right here. You're listening to Civic Media News, special coverage of President Biden's infrastructure announcement in Superior, Wisconsin. Let's go back to Superior. Education.
And then the process, he hollowed out communities, closing factories, leaving too many Americans behind. Look, I grew up in neighborhoods, and many of you did, in regions where you had that factory that maybe only employed 600 people or 800 people, but it was the heartbeat of the community. And all of a sudden, one day, corporation owners decided it was cheaper to send that factory overseas because the labor was cheaper. So closed the factory, sent it overseas, imported the product from overseas, paid more money for it, and they didn't have to pay as much in labor. That's what happened. That's how we began to hollow out American labor for real. Not a joke. You know, anyway, he talked about infrastructure every week for 4 years. He's going to increase the infrastructure week. Well, we have infrastructure year. He didn't get on my watch, instead of infrastructure week, America's having an infrastructure decade. Yeah. We're rebuilding factories and jobs are coming back to America. For example, you know, that little computer chip that everybody needs for everything from your watch to your automobile. Well, guess what? We invented them. We made them more sophisticated. We used to have 40% of the market, and all of a sudden, we have nothing. You know that, and so guess what? I got in a plane and went to South Korea. My staff wondered what the hell I was doing. I talked to the leader of South Korea. I said, you have a thing called Samsung. You make a lot of these computer chips. Come to America. Well, not only they, but a total of $50 billion is coming to America, building factories in America. in America. There's a place just outside of Columbus, Ohio. They call the Field of Dreams. They're building two of these fabs, they call factories. They're like gigantic football fields. And guess what? They hire a whole hell of a lot of people, not only in building the facility, but working there. You know what the average salary is? $110,000 a year, and you don't need a college degree to have the job. The Midwest is coming back. And these senators right in front of you here, they delivered it. Amy delivered it. Tammy delivered it. Tina delivered it. I mean it sincerely. And you, the American people, supported it. Now, I worked with some Republicans to get the bipartisan law done. And it got done. But I'm sorry to say the vast majority voted against it. But you know what? That's okay. Because we're building projects everywhere, no matter whether they voted for it or not. I promise to be a president for all Americans, whether you voted for me or didn't vote for me. Folks, we have more work to do. For example, does anyone think that the tax code in America is fair? Raise your hand if you think the tax code is fair. In 2020, 55 of the Fortune 500 company corporations paid zero in taxes. Zero in taxes. You may have heard me harp on this for a while. Federal taxes on $40 billion in profit. They paid 0 cents. But not anymore. What I was able to do is provide for funding all these programs by signing getting past a tax of just 15%. You pay more than that. But just getting up to 15%. 15% tax on these 50 corporations making $40 billion. And guess what? As a consequence, we could pay for so many of these investments we're making all across America without the deficit going. And we still brought the deficit down by $7 billion. Look, we have to do more. One of the other things that I want to mention, you know, I'll say this politely. For my entire career, I have been going after the pharmaceutical corporations. Pharmaceutical corporations in America are the best in the world. They make the best product. Whatever prescription you may be taking now, if I take that prescription for you, I'm going to fly to Toronto, Canada, London, England, Brazil, anywhere in the world, I will get that prescription by the same company filled for anywhere from one-third to one-half the cost. We get charged more than any other country in the world. Not a joke. And you pay for it, not only in your prescription, but you pay for it because Medicare pays for a great deal of this. So I've been pushing to let Medicare negotiate and say what they do. Well, with the help of your Senate and congressional delegation, I finally won. And guess what? Any of you, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but you know anybody who has a problem with diabetes, needs insulin? Well, it used to be the average cost of that insulin shot a year, on a monthly basis was closer to $400. Now they cannot charge more than $35. Yeah. And by the way, they're still making 350% profit. It costs $10 to make it. $10 to make it. And the guy who invented it didn't even want a patent on it because he thought it should be available to everyone. I can take you down the list. And beginning in 2025, guess what else happens? Anybody, if you know, have parents or grandparents who are taking a cancer drug, they may be paying anywhere from $6,000 to $13,000 a month for that drug. They can't do it. And guess what? No senior is going to have to pay, no matter how many drugs they have to take, more than $2,000 a month, period. Period, period, period. And they're still going to make money. They're still going to make money. And folks, I was told that that's an awful thing to do, man. It's a terrible thing to do. Guess what? Not only is it saving the individual money, it means you as taxpayers are paying billions of dollars less per month because you don't have to spend that money on Medicaid. You don't have to spend that money on Medicaid because it's a fair price. We get thousands. Look, we now have, we used to, before the recession, before the pandemic, we had about 700 billionaires in America. There are 1,000 billionaires now. You know what their average tax rate is? 8%. Raise your hand if you want to trade your tax rate now for 8%. No, I'm not joking. I'm being deadly earnest. You know, it sounds like I'm making this up. 8% what they pay. That's why I proposed the billionaire minimum tax of 25%. That's not even a top rate. If billionaires and big corporations paid even close to their fair share, we could strengthen Social Security and Medicare, bring down the cost of child care, elder care, working class, middle class people would all be better off, and it wouldn't cost a penny because they make $40 billion would be coming into it. And it's not, I mean, it's just basic fairness. You know, it's the right thing to do, and we can get this done. And I'll be damned, in the last year of this administration, I'm going to get it done. Yeah. Let me close with this. I'm going on too long. I apologize. I get a little tied up here. This bridge is important, but the story we're writing is much bigger than that. When you see the shovels in the ground and cranes in the sky and people hard at work in these projects, I hope you feel a renewed sense of pride. Pride in your community. Pride in what we can do. Pride in America. Pride knowing we can get big things done still together in America. We're the only country in the world that's come out of every crisis we've gotten into stronger than we went in. Not a joke. The only country in the world. For God's sake,
President Biden is wrapping up his remarks in Superior, Wisconsin. We will do some business. Don't go away. There's more to come. Listening to Civic Media News, special coverage of President Biden's speech in Superior, Wisconsin, talking about infrastructure and the latest rollout of the bipartisan infrastructure law being put in effect throughout Wisconsin and throughout the nation. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, and the president was in Superior today, still is presumably, but he was there to talk about $5 billion from the bipartisan infrastructure law for the Blatnik Bridge, which is a very important bit of infrastructure in Wisconsin, arguably one of the most important as it connects Minnesota and Wisconsin at a key port in the Great Lakes. And so that bridge, a very old bridge by all accounts, is going to be replaced thanks to $5 billion from that bipartisan infrastructure law. It's just one of many. $5 billion or several billion dollars worth of $5 billion, excuse me, I need to fix my numbers. $5 billion nationwide, $1 billion in Superior. I stand corrected on that. The investment targets 37 infrastructure projects throughout the country and at least 12 states, and $1 billion of that $5 billion going to the John Blatnik Bridge. I'm Terry Bell on the Todd Aubaugh Show. Todd, thanks for letting us carve out a little bit of your real estate this afternoon.
Sure, absolutely, Terry. It's great to be here. We're on location at Superior. For those watching on the stream on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, over my right shoulder, I swear to goodness, lost in the fog is the Blatnik Bridge. You can kind of see the lead up to the bridge, and the bridge kind of starts there, and then once it disappears in the fog, there is the bridge. It's been great to be here the last 12 hours or so. A lot of excitement. There was some of the press pool was staying in our hotel here, the Hampton Inn, right at the base of the bridge. Also, kind of the workers. We're kind of excited to have the president in town. So a lot of excitement here locally. And, of course, we have former Senator Bob Jauch, who represented this area for over 30 years on the show earlier, and Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party chair. The president said in the speech, 950,000 trucks pass over this bridge every year between Minnesota and Wisconsin. And I think, Terry, you know, it's the economic impact. I mean, the importance of this bridge that certainly is going to be good for the economy, but also good for tourism as well. The president talked about affordable high-speed internet. Also, the fact that, and Senator Jauch and Ben Wickler talked about this, replacement of all lead pipes in Wisconsin. And I think you don't have to be in Superior to recognize that. Certainly, there's been a huge problem in Milwaukee for our listeners of WAUK down in that area. So it wasn't just the bridge. That was the highlight, obviously. But I think it, again, goes to show that this president, whether it was Kamala Harris, the vice president in Big Bend earlier in the week, or finishing the week here with the president in Superior, literally one end to the other, these folks, the Biden team, is committed to bringing the bacon home here in Wisconsin and winning the state in 2024.
Yeah, he credited Tammy Baldwin for her efforts, for having played an important part of all of this happening, and a lot of credit being shared around. And you talked about the economy, Todd, and how important this is to the economy. It's not just important to Duluth or Superior. It's important for the entire region for getting out those products that come into the port of Duluth and Superior. And he talked a little bit about the ripple effects of the economy, consumer confidence at an all-time 30-year all-time high, I believe, a record number of new business applications in the last year, and that the economy grew by more than 3% last year. And that's a little bit of the challenge for the president. All of the numbers have been going up in the last 3-4 years or so. But a lot of people tell pollsters they feel like they're living in a very different reality. So he's got to keep hammering home this message in order for it to start to resonate. And, of course, that's why he was in a key battleground state today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an important one. And again, Ben Winkler brought this up. When people are asked, how is your economy doing, your personal, people are pretty good, over 50%, 60-some percent say my personal economy is doing well. If you ask them, well, how is the economy doing? Not so much. So again, it comes back to what's your personal experience. So that was, the Uncle Joe part probably came out the most, so to speak, when he was talking about insulin. And he yelled, he got animated. He said, look, it takes $10 to make it. $10. And people are getting ripped off here. And so thanks to him, seniors in the United States, insulin capped at $35 a pop. So that really got him riled up. And I think that's something that's going to resonate, much like women's reproductive rights. The insulin factor for seniors, big issue.
Yeah, he touched on a number of things, tax policy, healthcare and prescription drug prices, as you talked about. So, there are a lot of points he wants to drive home. We've seen quite a bit of the president in the last calendar year. We expect to see quite a bit more, obviously, this year, with Wisconsin being one of the most important states in the country in the upcoming presidential election.
Absolutely. Thanks, Terry. Really appreciate you.
Of course.
This is going to wrap up our special report coverage for Terry Bell, our news director in our studios in Madison. I'm Todd Alball here live in Superior. Stay tuned. In about 30 seconds, we're going to be joined by the great Jane Matinair of Matinair On Air. It's the Todd Alball Show live, a special report from Civic Media News in Superior.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn, thanks for joining us. As an attorney who's been in a lot of courtrooms, Trump may insist on giving part of his closing oral arguments on this case. I'm not sure if you ever saw the ABC series Boston Legal with William Shatner as Denny Crane. We're approaching Denny Crane territory here.
That's flat out crazy. It's like taking out your own appendix with a Bowie knife and you have no anesthesia. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Alball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It has led us to the northern tip of Wisconsin today. We are live in Superior for those watching on the stream, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Over my right shoulder is the Blatnik Bridge, lost in the fog right now, but President Joe Biden speaking just down the street at the Earth Rider Brewery, which looked pretty darn cool. I may have to stop over there before I leave Superior. We are joined right now live from down in Milwaukee by the host of the brand new and fantastic show which precedes ours every day. You can't ask for a better lead-in. 10 to noon every day on Civic Media. Jane Matinair of Matinair On Air. Jane, I just wish you were up here to grab a brewski together.
I do too. And the scene behind you is so pretty. And my sister and I went up to Bayfield a couple of summers ago. I think it was about 4 years ago. And we decided to go to Duluth. And that was the first time I've ever crossed the Blatnik Bridge. It was terrifying.
Really?
Yeah. It was terrifying. And I want to say that it was already, there were some lane closures because, again, obviously this has been in need of this kind of money and these kinds of repairs for a while. So that is wonderful news for that part of the state. I'm just delighted to see things get done. And shout out to our junior senator, Tammy brings it home, man.
Yeah.
Tammy brings it home.
She brings home the, what was that old, was that for Chanel? Brings with the bacon, fry it up in a pan. And I mean, that's who she is. She can bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan.
She's really doing it for the state. And I think that's wonderful to see that if certain people put their minds to it, there can be bipartisan agreement.
Yeah.
Just for not for the six Republicans and Tom Tiffany, who's the bridge, that just it's in his district. But that's neither here nor there.
That's
whatever.
Well, look, we appreciate you being flexible today on the schedule. And I said, Jane, you might get bumped for the president. I appreciate you being around.
Sure, fine. Bump me for the president. Thanks. No, that's absolutely fine. Well, I am here for you, my friend. You helped me out for so many months. While this was all transitioning and then finally turned into Matinee on air. And you and Dominic and so many others really helped me get my sea legs and helped me get ready to take over Matinee on air. So it's been almost a month, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we've been very transparent about this. Look, our friend Kristen Bryan moved on to other opportunities, and it was all amicable and things. And you were part of that show since it started on Civic Media, so people knew you. But now, getting your opportunity to take that time slot, 10 to noon, I think it's just fantastic for you. You deserve it. You're a legend in broadcasting in Southeast Wisconsin. People down there certainly know you. And from the last year and a half or so, people on this network know you. But tell us a little bit about your journey. I didn't know this until you told me that in all your years of broadcasting, you never had like your own show with your own name on it. What the heck's up with that?
Well, it was, I mean, again, I started in music radio and the vast majority of my career was in music radio. And when I started at The Mix in 1984, I always had a partner. So it was always Blank and Jane. Blank and Jane and Blank and Jane. And over the years, for whatever reason, I was the one who stayed, and my partners kind of cycled in and out. And so at one point, I got the nickname of the Black Widow of Milwaukee Morning Radio because some of the bodies were never found. Most of them are okay. Don't worry.
The Black Widow of Morning Radio.
Some of these guys would last for 3 months. And trust me, Todd, it's not like management came to me frequently and said, how do you feel about this? No, it's like, we're firing this guy. And coming on Monday, you have to work with this guy. So have fun.
What is that like? When you get forced into being on air with someone that you don't know, you don't have a choice. I mean, that has to be just, I mean, part of good radio, I think, is chemistry with the people you work with. What's that like?
Well, in some instances, it worked out really well. In others, as you say, chemistry is not something that you can create.
Oh.
And there are people in radio who may not necessarily appreciate that as a fact and think you could put any two people together and it's going to work because they can both talk.
Yeah.
That there's more to it than that. And so, again, that's why some of them lasted for 3 months. Some of them lasted for 3 years. I believe I had 9 partners when I was there. And then I moved on to 93.3, where my name was first, but it was still Jane and.
Right.
And then my last 7 years at TMJ, I was just part of the morning show. So, after 43 years, it's named after me alone. Now absolutely. I'm power. Now I'm power mad, Todd. Now I'm becoming power crazy.
Look, the first time we met, I came out to Waukesha. I had to deliver something. Actually, I was there as the delivery boy and ended up kind of getting thrown on the air. And I met you and I came away and I thought, here is a person who knows her crap, who isn't going to take anything from anybody, and also it's just one of the most cool people I've ever met. And like that's just your personality. Like, you know who you are, but you're also just super chill, and you understand people. What was it like starting out, I mean, you've said it 40-some years ago, when women were not necessarily put on the air or in positions of high power? It was a dude's business.
Very much so. And so I went to broadcasting school in 1981, and out of the 24 people in our class, 3 of us were female, And by the time graduation came, only two of us were left.
Wow.
And yeah, and things were starting to change a little bit. You were finally starting to hear women on the air from 7 to midnight or midnight to 6 a.m., you know. And when I went into radio originally, that's what I wanted. I wanted to be the cool 7 to midnight rock chick. Tragically, I was neither cool nor a rock chick.
Oh, come on.
But I wasn't.
Really?
And no, I really wasn't. And when I started at the mix, I actually started from, I did the overnight shift. I did from midnight to 6 a.m. And so it was an interesting learning experience. Very strange people will call you at 3:30 in the morning. And
did anybody ever get like raunchy, like ask you out on a date or anything like
that? Oh, yeah. I actually, really? At one point, and I wish I still had it, I had a list of comebacks depending upon what disgusting thing they would say to me so I would be prepared. Because I hate being surprised. And
right,
so
right, right.
I would, you know, I'm doing this in my bathroom. It's like, wow, you have a bathroom in your phone, or you have a phone in your bathroom, which at that time nobody had.
Right. Yeah.
So my goal came to be if I could get them to hang up on me first. So that was the little game that I played with the obscene phone callers. And then I worried about them for a long time, Todd, because you can't do that anymore because of caller ID.
Right.
And then I realized that all the former obscene phone callers are now just keyboard warriors. And that's where they went.
Yeah, you're so right about that. I mean, I never thought of it that way, but you're absolutely, these are the crank callers that
yes.
now have free license on their phones.
Yes, absolutely. They're anonymous. They can hide. They don't have to be confronted with their comments. And so, again, I used to worry about the obscene phone callers, but now I know they all have homes with basements, I assume.
The fantastic Jane Matinere of Matinere On Air is our guest. She's on every morning from 10 till noon, precedes us. We will continue on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We're live in Superior on location. It's the Todd Allball Show with Jane Matinere. Put her name first, Matinere and Allball, in Superior on Civic Media. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location in Superior, Wisconsin at the base of the Blatnik Bridge right here in Superior, Wisconsin. We're laughing because we were having fun. Jay Matinere of Matinere On Air is our guest. And we were talking during the break. The people listening on the radio can't hear it, but people streaming can.
And I forgot that.
I'm glad
Jeff,
you did.
Jeff Perry, I'm so embarrassed now. I'm so embarrassed that people watching the stream can hear me say it. But it's true.
You were talking about comebacks to creepy people that would call you on overnight shifts in your radio career.
Yes, I was talking about, I wrote up a list of comebacks to obscene phone callers because I hate being taken by aback by that. And so it became my goal to out-disgust them and get them to hang up on me. And so, you know, one guy said whatever, and I said, well, sure, everybody does that. Have you tried it with a donkey and some Crisco and maybe some candles for mood lighting? And then he'd go, lady, you're really sick. And I'd say, thank you. And then he'd hang up.
He was using words for self-gratification, and Jane
yes.
wasn't going to have any of it.
No,
and so Jeff Perry chimed in. We'll put it back up there, Mr. Sommers. That was
so
fantastic.
Funny.
On the Facebook page, Queen says, quote, a donkey and some Crisco was our high school prom theme. I went to high school. Jeff Perry, I confirmed that was true.
I'm so embarrassed. But anyway.
No, but see, this is exactly what we want. Because one of the things I've gotten to know about you over the last year and a half, we were not in the same town. I'm in Madison most of the time. You're in Milwaukee and Waukesha. But just being on air with you more during this last 3 months where our former colleague was on maternity leave and you were guest hosting at the time, and you were so kind and maybe probably just desperate, you said, well, let's have Todd on the show once a week. And you're just, you're so comfortable because you're welcoming and you're you. You're genuine. And I think that's what makes Matinere On The Air every morning from 10 till noon fantastic, because what you hear on the air, Jane's pretty much the same way when she's off the air. And I love that about you.
Well, that's really very kind of you, Todd. And I could say the same thing about you. And actually, I would say that about all the people that we have on the air on Civic Media. Mm-hmm. But I think, too, I'm not trying to hide anything, and I'm not trying to pretend that I know everything, because I don't, by a long shot. And that's why we try to have experts on and people who can really delve into things. You know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I make a reasonable butter knife, you know, so
you're so short. Come on.
But you know, it's always nice to have someone there who's a little pointier than you and just has a better grasp of it, because I think so many of us, there's so much information and there's so much going on. It's always nice to break it down in little bits to make it a little more digestible. Sure. And that's what you do too.
We try every day. But as we move, we're into 2024 now, big election year for our company, for a big year for our company, a big year for Wisconsin. Have you had time yet? I know this kind of all happened fairly quickly, but have you had time to pause and reflect and say, okay, it's my show now. What do I want to do with it in 2024?
Well, I don't know that things are going to essentially change all that much, except for the limo and a fruit plate that I'm hoping for on a daily basis, which still hasn't happened. No.
If you get that, let me know. I want to negotiate that.
Oh, I will. Trust me, I would brag about that forever. No, I think what we're doing is what I like. I like talking about the news. I like talking about things that affect Wisconsin. I like to try and clear up perceptions and help educate people and then have some fun. And so we do, I've always done, silly things make me happy, Todd. There's a bird rescue right around the corner from the studio in downtown Waukesha that only does large birds. We're talking big birds, you know? And so Carrie came in with an umbrella cockatoo that talks.
Really?
And yes, it was fascinating. If you have a chance to listen to the segment, you should go back and listen to it as a podcast. It was hilarious.
An umbrella cockatoo.
And they have like 35 large exotic birds there, and it's a rescue, and they try to rehome them.
Wow.
And it's things like that that fascinate me, some of these smaller niche things. Mm-hmm. But I love animals. I love our DNR. Tomorrow we're talking about golden wing warblers, which I'm very excited about. I've become this weird bird person.
Nothing weird about that.
It's all about, and then yesterday we talked to Jenny Deliberti from the Milwaukee County Zoo, and I've had the chance to talk and work with her many times over the years, and she told us some great behind-the-scenes stories about what happens at the zoo. They named, most of the keepers will name animals after their family members.
Sure. Oh, really?
And so, yes, and there was a little cow that apparently got named after Jenny, who later developed intestinal issues and is now living on a farm with Uncle Joe.
I think that happens to all of us at some point. We go to live on a farm with Uncle Joe.
Yes, we all end up with Uncle Joe at the farm in the sky. So now we're gonna lobby for Jenny to get her own flamingo, I think, at the zoo.
Do you think there's a chance they would name a bird after you?
After me? No.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great to have, like, you know, Jane the whatever or Maddie?
Well,
they could call the bird Maddie for Matt Nair. How about that?
I'm just thinking about
Maddie
some
the
of the
flamingo.
I'm thinking about some of the suggestions my former partners would have for the type of bird they should name after me. Crow comes to mind, but
come on now, that's ridiculous.
All of them. Not all of them.
I keep going back to the cockatoo myself, but anyway, that's a whole other show. But I think that'd be great. Have your own bird. People could go see it. You can be great cross promotion, right? Maddie the bird for Matt Nair on Air.
I will absolutely fight for that. And as soon as I get in contact with the Flamingo Lobby, I'll see who I can get on my side.
I think we should talk to our marketing people about Civic sponsoring a bird in your name.
Just to have them sponsor a bird would even be great.
Right? It can't be that expensive.
Hey,
we can
make
start
this
a
happen.
GoFundMe. Name a bird after Jane Matt Nair.
I think there are
in
more
a day,
worthy...
In a day, we
in
have
In a day,
it.
You think. Well,
yeah.
We'll get things in motion. I'll keep you posted.
Any other, is there something I haven't asked you yet? Time's run up. We got to have you back because Biden messed this all up. But
sure, throw me over for the president. It's fine, Todd. I understand how I rank.
Nothing I can do here. You understand? Anything I haven't asked you yet that you're excited about in 40 seconds?
I am just so delighted that Kristen brought me with her to Civic Media, even though she has moved on. I have learned so much. I've learned new skills. I've had the opportunity to work with wonderful people like you and Aaron and Greg Bach and Brian Kelly and Luke Mathers, and the list goes on and on and on. So I am just extraordinarily grateful. You can always contact Matt Nair on air, mattnair@civicmedia.us. Send complaints to Greg Bach.
Thank you, J. Matt Nair. See you tomorrow. Matt Flynn's next, live from Superior. Adios, everybody. Keep banging your drum. Thanks, Jane.